Welcome to the press conference for Kubo and the Two Straits. Wait until you all think of it. Well, let's welcome from the film, Art Parkinson, the voice of Kubo. Charlie Stanley, the voice of Bucky. Matthew McConaughey, the voice of Beetle. The producer and director of Kubo and the Two Strings and the CEO of Leica, please welcome Travis Knight. You know, just to kick things off here, I just want to ask, start with you, Travis, like, what was it about the screenplay that sort of fell into what your goals were for Leica from the very beginning?
Well, we started Leica about 10 years ago, and we had a pretty simple mandate, which was to make movies that matter, to tell stories that were rich and evocative, that were thematically challenging, and had something meaningful to say about what it means to be human. And we always want to do new, interesting stories. We want to explore different aspects of the human condition. And so this story really spoke to me because, you know, when I was a kid, I loved big epic fantasies, and that was what this film was. And at the same time, when I was around 8 years old, I went to Japan for the first time. And I was a kid who grew up in Portland, Oregon, so it was, you know, being in Japan was unlike anything else I'd ever experienced. It was a real revelation for me. And so it's a kind of art that's lived with me for my entire life. And so this film really ticked those boxes for me. The great Zhang Zhimou filmmaker said that every boy wants either a train set or to make a martial arts movie. And I didn't have a train set, so this is my martial arts movie.
I know that there's a lot of influence here, not just here for Kurosawa, but also Hayao Miyazaki.
Yes.
How much did those influences weigh on your body? How much did they influence you?
Well, we draw inspiration from a lot of different places, and you know, probably the two biggest filmic influences were Akira Kurosawa and Hayao Miyazaki. For Kurosawa, I mean, it was the way he made films, which was, you know, this incredible composition and cutting and staging and lighting. And his work with shapes, but it was not just the way he made films, it was what he made films about, which was he would always explore something really meaningful, things like existentialism and humanism. He would really explore different aspects of what it means to be human in the human society, the human family that we live in. And that was an important aspect of what we did in this movie. And for Hayao Miyazaki, I think there's obviously, you know, I've been a fan of his for 20 years, but I think the interesting thing for me is, you know, Miyazaki has about a half a dozen films that he were either inspired by or set in Europe. And I love the way he internalizes and synthesizes and then weaves into his own art different cultural influences. And the same kind of prism that Miyazaki applied to Europe was what we wanted to apply to Japan. That same vitality and that love for this incredible culture we tried to apply into Japan in this movie.
Well, I want to go down the line, starting with Art, then Charlize and Matthew, who've seen the film. So I would love to know what you thought.
I know the film. I thought it was really, really just beautiful. It was a very detailed film. And some of the key notes that stood out to me were the relationship that Kubo had with his mother and the way he sort of brought characters to life with his music and his origami. So I like to think that I bring characters to life with what I do. So it was really sort of cool to see and
I absolutely loved it. I feel terrible that I haven't had a moment to talk to Travis about this. It's just literally the first time, so this is kind of like my love song to you too. For the first moment that I met Travis, when we started having a conversation about this, there was something very clear about what he was trying to set out to do, and I think it was, you know, finding a way to kind of tell story through great character, but also through a real sense of world. And it was very hard for him to talk about character without talking about world. And to see the film finally, and the celebration of both of those things so beautifully and seamlessly done, it was just I was so inspired by it, really. And I have such admiration for the time and the patience and the passion that has to go into that. You know, we kind of like, as actors, step in and the embodiment is so, it's in broad strokes, right? And with this, it's painted with such a small brush, such a fine brush. And, you know, I sit here today in just complete awe of what that is. And then, you know, of course, on top of all of that, the story to me just is incredibly moving and really layered and conflicted and covers a lot of things that I think we are sometimes scared to kind of address with children. And I think it's so true to what Laika stands for and what their films have represented, in the sense that there really thematically isn't anything that, that you can't, in an interesting way, explore, you know, through children's eyes, or to tell and teach to children. And I'm so happy to be a part of it. I never thought I would get to do something like this.
How about you, Matt?
Yeah, Laika before and with this has not really ever made material that pandered to kids. It was like, oh, that's just a kids movie with kids themes. They're always adult, considered adult themes, but things that every child can understand and digest. I got to watch it with my wife and my two eldest children, who were 7 and 5. There were tears. I think my wife said she had cried about 9 times. And then there was also laughter. And then it was for an animated film, something that my kids saw, and they had tough questions afterwards. They enjoyed the ride, but they came and asked. They were scared at the right times. They saw someone overcome fears. We got to talk about that. We got to equate that to things in their own life. You don't get that in every animated film. So as an adult, we all quite enjoyed it, and the kids loved it. And they were 7 and 5. So I think it's a very impressive piece of work. It was obviously impressive when I met with Travis, when we met the first time, lunch to see what and how they do what they do. And I think it's fully realized in the final film. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Let's start with us. Yes, Fred, read it firsthand.
Well,
Kubo has two very special mentors helping him on the screen. Okay, that any of you share a time where you have a very special mentor you'd like to meet on the screen?
For me, a very special mentor was my mother, and she's right at the back there. And she brought me up, and whenever I was coming up and working in this industry and filming on TV, she was my mentor, because there was no one else really to teach me how to handle things. And yeah, my mom is a very special mentor to me in every aspect of life, whether it be sports or school or acting, as she's always very supportive. So I think the maternal instincts of a character like Monkey can relate to that. I can relate that to my mother. And I also have a mentor in my family, because he's a little bit more fun, you know what I mean, and less strict. A bit like Matthew's character Beetle. And he was the one who, like in the film or whatever, Beetle lets him use the bow and stuff. My father let me do that in game, and let me try and enter and do that too. But I can relate to the character really well and the members.
Anyone else?
Mentors. I have the late Penny Lawton, who recently moved on about 6 months ago, was probably the best mentor I've had in my life. She was she wouldn't call herself an acting coach, but that's typically what she was. She's the old lady who taught me what my rights could be as an actor.
How about you, Charlie? It's your mentors.
Oh, we're really all going to answer this. Okay. With me, it's not, there's so many. That's the problem. I'm so unbelievably fortunate to have had a lot of people come into my life in very different ways and from very different places. Some much younger, some much older. It's been, my life has been consistently kind of blessed with people who have been great teachers to me. And so if I had to bring one to the play right now, I would have to kind of join art in the fact that, you know, my mom was a consistent through my entire life. Just really, really lucky to have had a parent that was a great teacher, just a great, and still is a great teacher. I'm 40 and I'm like, God, I really thought this was gonna like end at some point. And you know, there's always some words of wisdom that you're just like, oh, wow, you just don't stop. So, really, yeah. But I have had a lot of, you know, people that you guys wouldn't even know, you know, people that have come into my life that or some of them are not here now, that have really kind of changed and molded me and my character in tremendous ways, and
yeah.
Very grateful for that.
Right there, Superman.
Yes.
Front row.
John is some of the kind of like him. I'm still waiting for my invite to visit the set. But with all your movies, man, every year, you know, not every year, but every movie is best off. Like, it's Oscar nominated, it's always good, it's always a masterpiece. So I was wondering, you guys, like, how did you guys top the previous work? You know, with, what's the pressure to come with us? Like, oh man, you gotta top Bastos, and look up Paranormal. You know, the bar gets high and high.
Boy, I love the way you're talking. Artists are needy, deeply insecure people, so to get that kind of feedback, that's like mother's milk. Thank you for that. You know, I don't know that we really think about it that way. I think that, you know, there is kind of an inherent restlessness to Laika, where we're always looking for that next challenge. We always want to challenge ourselves as artists. We want to grow. And the core team of Laika has been together for about 10 years now, right from the start. And we've grown as filmmakers and as artists and as people, really. It's almost like a family there. And the thing that excites us is to do something new, is to do something new and original, is to explore a new idea. And so, because we stay together, you know, each artistic and technological innovation that we come up with on any film, we can then apply to the next movie and focus our energies on coming up with something new that we haven't tried before. And when we, you know, when we started working on Kubo, Kubo really did represent a seismic shift for us, because we never really taken on anything on that scale. I mean, it's this big epic fantasy, and if you give an open invitation to our shop. But if you come up, you will see, it's just a big warehouse. It's, you know, that our sets are like this. It's a slab of wood that have been gussied up to look like, you know, our place. And so the idea of making a stop-motion David Lean film where it looked like this big, majestic vista on a tabletop, it's kind of absurd on its face. But we're excited by that challenge, and I think it's a testament to the creativity and the passion of the artist that they were able to pull it off. So I think what I will say is that when I know what's coming down the pike, it's unlike anything that we've ever done before. I think that's what gets us excited. And our next film is the same way. So it's, I mean, we love to tell new stories, which unfortunately, I'm gonna snipe, is a rarity in this business nowadays. But we're trying to keep the flag flying.
Thank you. What kind of animation movie did you go to see when you were younger, very younger? And which movie really do you love? From Bambi to many others.
What was the first part?
Which animation did you see when you were younger?
Oh. Well, the first kind of thing that I can think of is kind of those Looney Tunes. Yeah, you know? Television only came to South Africa in 75, 76, so we were a little late to the game. And then we only had about 2 hours a night of it. And so it was very, very special when it did come. When I was around 10, 11, we got VCRs, and that was like a game changer for me. And so I remember getting the little beta tapes of, God, I'm so old. Woo! Beta! Yeah! Of the Looney Tunes. And I remember they were like really short, like 8-minute runs. And as a kid, just kind of like, I could watch them over and over and over and over and over again and kind of not get bored and kind of laugh at the same jokes and discover something new every single time. And ironically, they still play them on, you know, the kind of collective child kid channels on cable. And every time I see them, when my child is kind of like looking for something to watch, I secretly like pop it on, you know, because I kind of want to like give him a little bit of what I had. And he loves it, but it's changed, right? You know, it's like what he has access to now is just so enormous, right? But for me as a kid, that was my first, I think, experience with animation.
Well, maybe before Beta. I had to get up, because we didn't have remotes.
We didn't have remotes.
Turn the 3-channel Zenith TV with the ears up.
Oh my God, Art. You're with ancient people.
CBS, ABC, and NBC, long before Fox, yes. And I don't think we were allowed a beta. My closest to animation, I didn't watch much media growing up, but I do remember first time seeing Land of the Lost on a Saturday morning, that world, and then the opening. I just remember the opening credits, and they go off the end of the waterfall and the world they end up in. That opened me up quite a bit. And the other one would be The Incredible Hulk, Lou Ferrigno. I mean, You knew you could get him. He was going to get big and green twice in the hour. At 7:22 and 7:41 p.m. It was going to happen twice. And if there's an oxygen tank around, which usually there happened to magically be, he was going to throw it in slow motion, and it was going to be awesome.
What's your favorite athlete?
Well, whenever I was growing up, it was more like Lion King and things like that, Lion King, Jungle Book. So I always loved those. But and I'm not just saying this because Travis is here, but whenever Connor and I did that, sort of higher order, this guy first came out, I was a little bit older, of course, but it was like, it was the kind of film that I could go back and watch. Even as a 14-year-old, I would, like my 18-year-old brother, my mum would go watch that regularly because it was a kid's film. It was dark as well, you know what I mean? So whenever I got up and over, I watched that. Yeah, it was more as a young child than I think. I was, we'd watch that on repeat all day.
Are you asking, is it a requirement for us to cast actors in stop motion?
There's a 2-month boot camp.
Yeah.
This would be a much
after you've accepted
panel,
to even
if that was the case.
Yeah, I think we were all somewhat fascinated by it. And Travis was really kind to kind of share. I remember seeing some footage of Box Trolls and kind of how they went about doing that. I asked a lot of questions. I mean, the first time he came in, I was like, I knew nothing about it. So I was like, so is it like clay? Like, I was just so naive to the whole process. And that was what was so exciting to me. I mean, I've been doing this for 20 years, longer than 20 years. And the idea of doing something that I logistically knew very little about was so refreshing. I mean, the part of the job that I had to bring to it, I was a little worried about because he was so encouraging of me doing it. And there was a part of me was like, I don't want to F this up for you because I've never done this. And I don't, you know, what is that? Like, and, you know, I think it's a testament to why they're so successful with the storytelling that they create and kind of go after, because it's so grounded. It's real. You know, there's, Travis was constantly just really encouraging finding the truth and that being a truth seeker during the whole process, which was quite long. You know, I wouldn't see him for several months and then I would see him again, and it kind of felt like you were picking up just from where you left off. But I didn't really see any of the animation stuff until there was kind of like a making of. I worked with some of the sketches kind of moving just to kind of get an idea, but more than anything I was kind of working from his brain, and really he was my fountain of information. So I was really getting my inspiration of what was needed to kind of paint on the canvas from him, and he's very good at articulating that. But so watching it for me was kind of like you guys watching it. I saw it all really for the first time, and I think that moment at the end credit roll where you see them actually such a really incredibly powerful moment, because what they do is so seamless that you forget the time and the effort and the talent that is and the passion that's behind that. And to just have that glimpse of that is just a reminder of like you've really watched something so incredibly special.
I mean, for me, and I, with children, it's always interesting to see what lessons they get from something that they can watch. And as Charlize and I have said for the last 5 hours, we haven't made much that our kids can watch a long time. So for me, I think it was, I've had a lot of talks with my kids about courage and overcoming your fears along the way. And for me, I like to say this is a one of the themes of this story is you've got to fight and you've got to have a lot of courage to write the third act of your own story, to get your happy ending. And it may not be exactly what you thought it was going to be, but usually if you get to the nut of it, to the truth of it, that's a lot happier than living, than not finishing the story at all. Which, you know, Kubo can write Act 1 and Act 2. We're all pretty good at that one. Or actually, sometimes Act 2 is kind of a son of a gun. But, yeah, encourage you got to fight for your third act.
Time for one more question. Scott, good question.
Glasses. Wow, no pressure.
I had a particularly good experience with that. I took my family to go see it. Didn't tell them that I was. Didn't tell them exactly what I was doing or how I was a part of it. And we watched it. And I was sitting. My wife was sitting next to me. My son was sitting to the right of me. And then my daughter was sitting about where Art is. And then when my character, the Beetle, first came up, she goes. She leaned down. She goes, "Bye bye, bye bye." And what she goes, "That Beetle sounds a lot like you." And I was like, shrugged it off. Came up the second scene. She was like, "Bye, I'm telling you, that Beetle sounds..." So then when the movie was over, she came and she was like, "Was that you?" And I told her, yes. And I was hot stuff around the house for the next week.
The day that I saw, which was just 2 days ago, was actually my son's first day back at school, so I felt wrong to kind of pull him out to come and see the film, but I'm hopefully going to show it to him in a couple of weeks. But he's seen the trailer several times. He really loves the trailer, and he put it together. It was a very similar experience to Matthew. He was like, "Mom, that sounds like you." And I just kind of did the same thing because I didn't want to bust it. You know, I wanted him to kind of experience the film just for what it is. And I went, "Really?" And he goes, "Mom." and then his primary concern was that he was very concerned that the world didn't know that I wasn't really a monkey. He was like, "Mom, you have to tell them that you're not really a monkey." Like, that was really his only concern. So I'm really excited for him to see it. He knows so much about it, and I really kind of made him a part of it. I mean, Travis is so tired of me talking about my little boy. I mean, every day that I was in recording, this was really kind of something that I really wanted to do for him, and I thought of him constantly while making this, and I'm really excited for him to see it.
Kubo and the Two Strings opens on August 19th. Thank you.
Thank you.